I don't want to start too soon. Are you? Okay, good. I don't want to miss out. I think we'll get to hear you another time later in the service. Welcome. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is to be together in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream, we're glad to be together in this hour of worship. I'd like to invite all of us to take a moment and register our attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can do that on the registration pads that are at the end of each row and pass those along the way. Or you can use the QR code that's in the bulletin that will take you to a link where you can register your attendance, you can offer prayer concerns, you can make an offering, lots of different ways you can participate in the service through that QR code if you choose to do that. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link there that you can place in your browser to register digitally. If you are a college or a graduate student here at one of our Nashville universities, we invite you to join us for lunch after this service. The group will gather in the back, we call it the Narthex, that room back there, and Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye will take you all to lunch and hope you'll join in the fellowship. There are many things going on as we begin this season of Lent, and I hope you'll take some time to read the announcements in the bulletin, to read the Friday emails really carefully if you receive those. Just a few things I want to highlight for us in the upcoming week. Because of the snow, we had to postpone the interest meeting in small groups, and so that has been rescheduled for Wednesday, February 21st at 6 p.m. down in McWhorter Hall. And if you've been thinking about, praying about maybe being part of a small group here at the church, this is a great way to learn more about that. Then on Sunday the 25th, we will have a training for our Realm system, R-E-A-L-M. This is our new, not so new, database, and this will be the source of our digital directory, ways that we can get in touch with each other, and it's a really great tool for us to connect with one another. So we'll have a training during the Sunday School Hour in McWhorter Hall where you can bring your devices and have someone help you get it all set up, and it'll be worth it, I promise. Then on Saturday, March the 2nd, we have our great day of service where everyone's invited to sign up and join us in a morning of service with Glencliff United Methodist Church. There's a big display in the bulletin for you to see. You can go online and sign up for whatever project you're interested in, and lots of things for every age group. And also that weekend, our youth will be participating in the 30-hour famine, and we are hoping to support them and make donations to support their ministry and their efforts. So please look for more information about that in the bulletin as well. This is our first Sunday during Lent, and we will be hearing God's call to be people of justice. So let us open our hearts and minds to worship God this day and to watch as Jesus shows us the way.
Thank you. Family and faith, welcome. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Like a beloved friend who brings us into our truest selves, from near and far, you call us home to you. Like a mother hen folding us into her flock, you gather us in grace. Let us worship our God with thanksgiving and praise, with the assurance of God's mercy that delivers us to live a better way. Let us confess our sin. God of abundance, you gift us with immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, and yet we want more. Forgive us for the ways we have pursued profit over your presence, the accumulation of more at the expense of our neighbor's flourishing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, turn over the money tables in our hearts that we might live justly and walk humbly as we follow in the steps of Jesus. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be weighed down by the sins and worries of life, but watch and pray for the grace of God, who will save you in your time of trial. Amen." As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Please join in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Awakening God, stir our imagination by the power of your Holy Spirit, that in receiving your word, we might humbly walk toward the new world of mercy and justice you are creating in our midst. Reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And when the chief priests and scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All the grown-ups to be seated, and any children who want to come forward and join me for a moment, please come on down. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. We'll wave to you. Come on up. Welcome, welcome. So happy to see everybody. Grace. Good to see you, hey, Martha. All right. I've been thinking lately, come on up. I've been thinking some lately about all the different feelings we have as people. And there are lots of different feelings we have in the course of the day, and feelings aren't bad or good. They just happen. They're just things we feel. So I want you to help me think through these feelings by making a face to go with a feeling, okay? Let's make a happy face. Happy face, yeah, smile, happy face. How about sad? Sad's a feeling we feel sometimes. Sad. Yeah, I feel sad. How about surprised?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good surprise face. Yeah. How about angry or mad. Yeah, that's a good angry face. Sometimes we get mad, right? Well, you know, as we learn about Jesus and hear stories about Jesus, he had all of those feelings too. Sometimes he was sad. Sometimes he was happy. Sometimes he was surprised. And sometimes he even got angry. And in our story today that Miss LaDonna just read for us, Jesus was angry. He went into the temple, which is kind of like our church, and he saw that things were happening that weren't fair. They were being extra hard on people who were poor. And that made him angry. And so he stood up and he said something. And that's what we're called to do sometimes. Sometimes we get angry because something's not fair or something is wrong or people are being hurt and we want to stand up for them. And we can know that Jesus did that too. So next time you have a feeling of anger or you get mad, take a minute to close your eyes and breathe and think about it. Why am I angry? Am I just angry because my little sister took the cookie first? And maybe I can let go of my anger. But am I angry because somebody wasn't treated fairly? Maybe I need to say something. I don't have to yell. I can just say it. I think this is wrong, and that's okay. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for all of the feelings you've created us to feel. We thank you that Jesus felt them too, and he sets us a good example of how to act. So today, when we hear about him getting angry, we know it's for a good reason. Help us to be people who do the right thing, who stand up for others, and who always do that in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's put on our smiley faces. So 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Jennifer. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. And thank you for the hug. This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent, and Pastor Shannon Baxter preached on Ash Wednesday on the text from the prophet Micah, which is also highlighted on the front of our bulletin. It's our theme for the whole season of Lent. And what does the Lord require of you, the prophet asks, but to do justice and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So we're going to take our time with this verse for these first 2 weeks. Pastor Stacy next week and me this week are going to do a little deep dive into justice, into the biblical concept of justice and what God calls us to in justice. And then the 2 weeks after that, we'll look at mercy and kindness and how we are called to be people of mercy. And then the last 2 weeks, we'll look at walking humbly with God, the journey of faith with God and humility and what we are called to do in that way. As I was looking at the prophet Micah and thinking about the season of Lent, at first I thought about flipping these because it seems a more natural progression first to walk humbly and then to do acts of mercy and then to move into works of justice. But I want to be faithful to the prophet. So we're jumping right into justice this morning. And I want to start off by thinking through, what do we mean by justice? It's a word that gets used a lot. It can be a loaded word for a lot of folks. When we look at justice and mercy from the prophet Micah and from the scriptures, how do we frame these concepts? Well, I've had a couple of teachers along the way who have helped me understand a little more deeply what we might be looking at when it comes to concepts of biblical justice and mercy. When we think about mercy, mercy are those acts of kindness and generosity and care that we offer to people in need as they come before us. We'll look later in the month at Matthew's chapter 5, where Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was in prison and you visited me. Those acts of mercy and kindness that offer help and relieve suffering in our world. That's how we often think of mercy. Justice is perhaps taking a step back and looking at why people are hungry. For example, if you go and you tutor students at a school, you might notice that this school is very different from this school across town. Why is this school underfunded? What's going on here? Or you might be involved in the Room in the Inn ministry and meeting people and developing relationships with people who are in homelessness, and you begin to ask the questions, why is mental health so hard to access in our city? Why are there so many people unhoused in our city? What are our housing policies? And we begin looking at some of these things in our life together, policies, laws, structures, and systems that might be leading to the suffering of our neighbors. Many years ago, Bishop Peter Story preached at our annual conference. He was a bishop in South Africa, very deeply involved in the struggle against apartheid. And he gave a sermon illustration. He was talking about the sermon of the Good Samaritan. And he said, so the Samaritan's walking down the Jericho Road in that story, and he sees there's a man who's been beaten and is lying on the side of the road. And so he responds with an act of mercy. He goes and he bandages the man's wounds, he cares for him, he takes him to an inn, he pays for his lodging, and he comes back later to check on him. He's done what he could to ease the suffering of that one man. But what if, Bishop Story said, that same Samaritan is walking down the road a week later and there's another person who's been beaten up on the side of the road? And another person the next time he walks down, would he not begin asking the question, what is going on here? Why are so many people being attacked on this road? What's up with the crime in this area? Or is there some prejudice happening? Or what? He would ask the deeper questions that look at the bigger picture. I found those two things to be very helpful and a reminder that as the people of God, we are people of mercy and justice. It is always both and. To have justice without mercy or mercy without justice is an incomplete picture of God's hope for the world. I'm grateful that as United Methodists, we have always been both and people. I was at dinner a couple of weeks ago with a group of clergy. Stacy was there too, and one of our Presbyterian colleagues said, why are you Methodists always talking about John Wesley? We don't talk about John Calvin that much. I said, because he's awesome. He's wonderful. It wasn't perfect, don't get me wrong, but so many of his teachings continue to inspire me and to shape us as a church. And John Wesley, in his own life and ministry, was all about mercy and justice. He visited the prisons. He fed the hungry, clothed the naked. He set up a school for the children of the coal miners. He advocated for economic reform and better working conditions. He also was a vocal advocate of abolition and the end of slavery. Even from his deathbed, he was writing letters to William Wilberforce. And so he also gives us an example of how we are to be people of mercy and of justice. And of course, there's the example of Jesus. When we find Jesus this morning in the 11th chapter of Mark's gospel, he has arrived in Jerusalem. Now, as I was studying this passage this week, I learned something, or something was brought to my attention that I had never noticed it before. I don't know why I'd never noticed it, but thanks to Fame Perkins, who wrote one of the commentaries I read, she pointed out in the first 10 chapters of Mark, Jesus is traveling around the Galilee and making his way toward Jerusalem. And he is healing people, he's teaching, he's responding to the needs in front of him. In many ways, it is a ministry of mercy, casting out demons, relieving suffering. Of course, along the way, he's also confronting some of the religious authorities. But in chapter 11, when he arrives in Jerusalem, after that point, there are no more miracles, except for the cursing of the fig tree and the resurrection. No more healings. Before chapter 11, Jesus had told people again and again, don't tell anybody who I am, keep it a secret, keep quiet. He gets to Jerusalem and he comes out into the temple and turns over the tables. His ministry becomes very public, very controversial. And what is it that's happening in the temple? What is Jesus seeing that has caused his anger that I talked about with the children? What is his focus on justice in this moment in chapter 11? Well, let's imagine. We're in the temple, and there is the largest chamber, which is the court of the Gentiles. In this chamber of the temple, everybody's welcome. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to be anything. It's like our communion table in the United Methodist Church. Everybody's welcome to come and pray. Beyond that, there is the court of the women. And then beyond that, only Jewish men could go. Now, with our 21st century eyes, we're looking at that with some, doesn't feel just. But that's not what Jesus is addressing in this moment in his ministry. He walks into that court of the Gentiles, and he sees these tables. One of the tables, they're exchanging money. One of the other tables, Mark says they're selling doves. He specifically names doves. Doves is the typical sacrifice for those who are poor, who can't afford anything else. It's also a typical sacrifice for women who are coming for their rites of purification. So let's say Mary and Joseph go to the temple. We know from Luke's gospel that they go after Jesus is born, so Mary can do the rites of purification, and they can dedicate Jesus in the temple. Joseph probably had some Roman coins in his pocket because he was a mason and worked and was probably paid in Roman coins. But you can't use Roman coins in the temple because they have the image of the emperor on them. It's a graven image. So you have to do a money exchange. Joseph has to go exchange his Roman coins for temple coins. Now, the high priestly families can set whatever exchange rate they want, and they often set it very high. It's like if you traveled abroad and changed your money at the airport. It's not the best place to exchange money. And so already these priestly families, these religious authorities are making money off of the pilgrims and off of the poor. Then they go to buy their turtle doves because that's all they can afford to sacrifice, and those prices are set at the whim of the family of the high priest. We know from historical accounts, Josephus, the great Jewish historian, referred to Ananias, the chief priest that we hear about in the New Testament, referred to him as the procurer of money. So he had a reputation for jacking up the prices. And so these religious authorities, these guardians of the temple, are restricting access to worship, to prayer. There are people traveling for miles to come and pray, to come and seek forgiveness, to come and make their gifts and their offerings, and they're being charged for it. And the leaders are making a profit off of the poor and off of those who are hungry for God. And Jesus is infuriated. Can you feel it? Just take a moment to imagine what it must have been like for Jesus to see access to God, his Father, being exploited for profit. And so he turns over the tables and drives out the money changers. And he says to them, this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all the nations, for all people, but you have made it a den of robbers. And then Mark says this amazing thing. He says, Jesus would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. So here is Jesus claiming the authority of God. And I don't think he was alone in this. In order to restrict access, I have to wonder if some of the disciples and maybe some of the people in the temple joined him and had a sit-in and wouldn't allow any money to be exchanged. This is Jesus crying out for justice, standing up for the poor, calling out evil, injustice, and oppression in the ways they were presenting themselves in the temple, as we say in our baptismal vows. And so I read this story, and I recognize that we are called to that kind of ministry too. And I'm inspired by Jesus' example, and I feel those angers, those emotions of anger, and I also feel really uncomfortable and a little bit out of my element. Because, as I said before, I think there are some of us who are really gifted in those acts of mercy, can sit by the hospital bed of someone for hours, who can feed the hungry. And there are others of us who are called to the ministry of justice, who know how to go down to the legislature and talk and to give press conferences and to organize us to speak out in our community. And I've always been a little better at the mercy side of things. And I've always found it very comfortable to be nice. You know, I always thought that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian, is be nice. But Jesus isn't nice in this story. And especially since I have moved to this congregation in 2017, right here in the middle of Nashville, 10 minutes away from the legislature, I feel like I am called to speak out more. That we are called as a congregation to be a voice of justice in our community, to stand up and stand alongside the poor and the vulnerable and the powerless in our community. And it's scary, and it's uncomfortable. But at the same time, I hear things and see things coming out of our legislature on Capitol Hill that are deeply disturbing to me. As a person who tries to follow Jesus, I'm astounded at some of the things that are happening and the things that people are saying. And so I'm wondering, what are we called to say and to do? Now, I know someone's going to say, now we're getting political. Now you're just promoting a partisan agenda. But my friends, the justice of God belongs to no party's agenda. Justice is God's agenda. And long before there were Democrats or Republicans, no matter who has been in the White House, long before there was a United States of America, God was calling for justice. Long before John Wesley walked this earth, long before Jesus walked the earth, the prophets of the Hebrew scriptures were calling, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. It is part of who God is and who we are called to be, to look at the world through the eyes of compassion with a heart for the vulnerable and the poor and the powerless. So how are we called to use our power, our position, our voice, our faith, our conviction to help build a more just and merciful community in our midst? It takes prayer. It takes discernment. It doesn't take agreement on every political issue. It takes commitment to the gospel. And I'm just wondering what tables we are called to overturn.
Amen and amen. Let us rise in body and spirit and affirm our faith. Your affirmation of faith is found in your bulletin. It's also number 883 in the hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here in the sanctuary, you can fill out the gray card that's in the pew rack in front of you, and as the plates are passed, you can put that into the plate. Please take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin and keep those names and those situations in your heart throughout the week. praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. As we pray this day, let us remember and mourn with our beloved church family, offering comfort as we ask the Lord for peace in the lives of Stan and Rebecca Burcham and their family, who are mourning the death of Stan's mother, Peggy Vanderford, who passed away on February 12th in Corinth, Mississippi. Services were held there on Thursday, February 15th. We also grieve with Carolyn, Matt, Anna, and Ruth von Lunen, who are mourning the death of Matt's great aunt, Ruth Hooper. She passed away in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on February 3rd. A small gathering of family will be held at a later date in Pennsylvania. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our beloved, we come this February morning to your house as invited and welcomed guests. We do not take that invitation nor your welcome for granted. You've bid us come. You set a place at the table for us. You created everything in the cosmos, blades of grass and blue whales, protons and polar bears, and somehow in the midst of all of this beautiful creation, you care for each of us and allow us to come before you in prayer. So today we bring you our pain and our anxiety, our grief over the ones who have died, our hope for the future, and our gratitude for this day and this place. God, you give us the ability to be with one another and to feel empathy. We know things aren't just, that things aren't working for our neighbors. They are going hungry, they go without housing, they are cold. If they work, they make too much money to access the assistance they need, but they don't make enough to pay for what they need. They need an address to work, and they need work to have an address. They need documentation to cross the border and work, and yet they need work to get that documentation to cross the border. We find small and insidious ways for injustice, racism, sexism, and ableism to persist. And while it feels more comfortable to point outward, we recognize that the tables Jesus flipped were in the church itself. Give us holy boldness to look at the log in our own eyes. Give us courage to flip over the tables when we see injustice. Give us wisdom to know the right way forward, to repair and reparation. Help us to not only learn the histories of marginalized people, but to work to undo the harm done. Restore us to right relationship with one another and with you. Lord, we commit ourselves to holy disruption today and always. May your love strengthen us to endure the good trouble necessary to liberate all of your children. May your wisdom guide us as we work to create a world full of compassion, grace, and justice, a world where love is the law of the land. In the name of your Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God with gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on your screen. While here in the sanctuary, we invite you to give through the plates as they pass down your row. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
for just a moment, and I want to introduce you all to Vicki Breyer. And come on up, Vicki, all the way up. And she has given me permission to tell you a little bit of her story. Vicki lives in Great Britain, just outside of Manchester, and was in Nashville visiting friends this September and felt God in this place and felt loved by you and went home and read through her Bible in 4.5 weeks. So she beat some of y'all before the end of the year to finish the Bible, and is back in town visiting these friends and worshiping with us. And we've had some good opportunities to talk and to get to know each other. And God is really working in your life and in all of our lives. And because Vicki has not been baptized, is going to be baptized this morning and join the church. She's flying back to England on Tuesday, so she will be in. So wave to the camera on Sundays to Vicki, and all our friends who join us regularly on live stream will be seeing her in person whenever she's in town. But your story has deeply inspired me and helped me bear witness to the Spirit of God in this place. So thank you for your courage to come and talk and your openness to baptism and joining our church. So let me ask you the questions of baptism. I don't have them memorized. You think I do, but let me go. I ask you now, on behalf of the whole church, these very ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And now, as a member of this congregation of the United Methodist Church, will you be loyal to Christ through West End United Methodist Church and do everything in your power to sustain and grow its witness and ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Now it's our turn, my friends. As members of the body of Christ, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Vicki now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Vicki with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Vicki, I'm going to invite you to kneel at the altar rail. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and on Vicki who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. Amen. Vicki Breyer, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father, who created you just the way you are. In the name of Jesus, the Christ, your Redeemer. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, who lives within you and will be your companion and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. Let us pray. Vicki, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to come down there and join you as the congregation takes our final vow of love and support and mutual journey with Vicki. I invite you to stand as you're able. Members of the household of God, I commend Vicki Breyer to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask Stacy to take Vicki to Reed Hall or just outside this door and encourage all of you to go and give Vicki a big hug of welcome, pray for safe travels, and look forward to the next time we get to see her in person. God is good, y'all. Let us remain standing and sing our faith in God's goodness together. Before the final benediction, throughout Lent, we will be singing a choral benediction. The tune can be found on page 441 in your hymnal if you want to sing along today. Now we go forth singing a song of love and justice and mercy, going forth to be God's people as we walk humbly alongside one another and with our God who goes before us. Amen.